He's the 31-year-old pilot who once appeared as a model on The Price is Right, and he's about to hit our TV screens again as the next Bachelor in Series 9. And, spoiler alert, he says he's found real love. Please welcome Jimmy Nicholson.
Flying into our hearts, Jimmy Nicholson. Good morning to you, mate.
Oh, good morning, guys. The Price is Right stuff comes up again.
Oh, Jimmy.
Did you think you'd peaked when you did that?
No, definitely not.
You better get used to that stuff, mate. It's going to be coming up a fair bit over the course of this series, I reckon.
Anyway, I'm ready for it.
Jimmy, look, we're looking at everything here going, something doesn't add up. You're dreamy, you're a pilot, you seem like an all-round nice guy and can't get a girlfriend until now. So let's get real here. What's the reason I'm going to break up with you?
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe I'm a loud sleeper or something.
Are you? That'd be a done deal for sure.
That'd be a done deal. No, I've been in two amazing relationships. I was in a long-term relationship for 7.5 years. So had that period of 2 years by myself to kind of do the single thing and was ready to meet someone. So, yeah, it's here I am.
Okay.
Maybe Jimmy makes you watch old reruns of Price is Right while you...
No, I don't.
Did it, come on down, did it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Hey, man, I think we're all, you know, there's been various seasons of this and there's been some fighting and some whatnots going on. I think people are ready for a bit of romance. Is that we're going to see a bit of that?
You are, yeah. Look, it's of course people love the drama and stuff like that. But I didn't go on the show for drama. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's worked out well for me. I'm super happy. We're very much in love, and
it's
worked out really well for us. So, but you know, sometimes that love stuff's boring by itself. So can confirm there's a lot of drama that goes on, which I've found about after leaving.
Right. So, okay.
Jimmy,
okay.
Is she there with you right now?
I wish. That'd be nice.
Okay.
It'd make this couch a lot more comfortable.
Right.
By myself in lockdown in Sydney.
Oh, but when you're dreaming of her, you're thinking, looking into her blonde hair, thinking... Nothing.
Oh, you've been reading into the news articles too much, I think.
Just checking.
There's been some interesting things written over the last 2 weeks, so many of them not true.
Now, Jimmy, you mentioned, you know, a couple of years out grazing and you're ready to find love right now. Is this okay? Do you go, I'm ready to find love and The Bachelor is the way to do it? Like, how have you gotten to become The Bachelor?
Yeah, I was approached. So I had last year, I had 8 months off work, so a lot of time to think. But I was approached. I had a message in my Instagram DM one morning, and the rest is history. So I sort of thought, you know what, I actually do the Bachelor franchise works. They've had some really successful couples to come out of it.
Yeah.
I've got a great job. I'm not interested in all that, the fame and influence stuff. I was just like, this could be a great way to meet an amazing girl. And it's bloody worked out. So, yeah.
What do you mean a DM pops into your Instagram? I mean, I know what that means, but what does it say? Does it say, hi, Jimmy, I'm so-and-so, we're from The Bachelor, we want you to be the next one? Like, where does it start?
It sort of said, it was like, hey, would you be interested in going on a dating show on television? And I said, well, depends which one, because there's some that I absolutely would not want to go on.
Hey, beggars can't be choosers. If you want a girlfriend, Jimmy, you never know, love is around the corner.
So anyway, when they said it was The Bachelor, I said, okay, let's see where this goes. And I'm a big believer in kind of things working out and that things happening for a reason. And I think there was kind of, I don't know, there was something drawing me to it. So, and I'm really happy that I went for it.
Okay. Jimmy, when we were watching the World Cup the other week, Matt was saying here that when he looks in the eyes of the players as they're about to take a penalty shot, he can tell when they're going to stuff it up.
Yes, I can.
Are we going to be able to look at you on the first night on the red carpet and instantly see, no, he's not into her?
I don't know. I don't know how good my poker face is. But
okay.
Look, I'm going to be looking at it as well and thinking the same thing. See, like, I wonder what I was thinking back then. I do know, I can say on the topic of stuffing it up, you'll see at hometowns, everything was going really well, and I put my foot in it, I think, with every family. And they're like pretty majorly as well. So that was interesting. But I think first night, I got away unscathed.
Well, okay.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Hoping as a pilot, you've got a pretty good poker face in case people are going, are we going down? No, it's fine.
That noise is normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, all under control. No worries. Just keep drinking your champagne.
Exactly.
I think so.
Hey, Jimmy, it's nice to catch up with you. Before we let you go, a carton of milk is between $1.20 and $2.40. tell us the price.
Oh, you guys are good. I'm a terrible gambler, so don't ask me for gambling advice. Trust me.
Okay.
Yeah, just I guess you guys will have to wait and see.
Okay.
Weren't on the prices right that long then. All right.
Yeah, whatever is behind door number two.
Nice to chat to you, mate.
We'll see you tonight
on The Bachelor. It premieres at Channel 10, 7:30. Jimmy Nicholson there.
Now, guys, I don't know. I don't think I've talked about it very much, but growing up, I was really self-conscious about my face because I had a lot of acne, and right through from young teen, like early teen, pretty much through my 20s, sometimes into my 30s, and it has been something that, you know, sometimes you hold on to something and it kind of plagues you a bit.
Sure.
And it became a thing where it would take a toll on me psychologically, where sometimes if I had really bad skin, I would go, I don't even want to leave the house. And I know it sounds really silly, but if you're someone who deals with that, it can be really confronting and a bit full on, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And fast forward to two nights ago, I was washing my face in the shower and I knocked my nose stud out, my nose piercing stud, into the shower. And I didn't realize until later, and I knew that the hole was going to close over, because even though it's been pierced since I was 15, the hole goes to, like, it just closes over in a few hours.
Really? A few hours?
Yeah, it just, my nose, it obviously doesn't want it in there, but, and so I needed a temporary measure, so ran out to the garage, found some fishing wire, burnt the ends, and made a little knob on it so it wouldn't fall through.
You had fishing wire through your nose?
Yeah, I wore it yesterday to work.
Did you?
And nobody noticed.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I was like, at the time,
I remember saying to Pete, gee, Kimber's looking good today.
I was listening. I was just trying to buy time until I could get another stud. But I had fishing wire in my nose and no one knew. It just was a blob of blue fishing wire at the top of my nose. No one even noticed.
Right.
And I was in the kitchen yesterday.
Blowing my mind.
I was in the kitchen yesterday talking to one of our colleagues and I said to her, oh, I had to fashion this nose ring, this nose stud out of fishing wire. And she went, I didn't even know you had a nose piercing.
No.
And I said, I've had it since I was 15. It's been in there the whole time. She said, I've never, ever noticed. Mm. So out of interest, I thought, I'm going to go around the office and find out if anyone remembers that I have a nose piercing. Because we look at each other's faces every day.
Yes.
But if you were like to quickly put your hands over your face and go, do I have a beard or a moustache? Suddenly I'd go, oh, God.
Sure.
I don't know if I know.
Yeah.
So I put a mask over the bottom of my face and a mask over the top of my face so you could just see eyes. I looked like a ninja.
Yeah, legit looked like a ninja. I was actually, until you came over to me, I was like, what are you doing?
So I went around the office and I asked people if they could remember any distinguishable features about my face.
All right, Kylie, are there any distinguishable features that you can recall about my face?
No, none that I can think of.
Okay. So, Kim, we've known each other probably more than a decade.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, are there any distinguishable features about my face that you can recall?
About your face? I feel like maybe you used to have a piercing and now you have maybe a mark from where you had a piercing.
Ross Edwards.
Hi. Do you have beauty spots? I've never noticed. I'm going to plead the fifth. Because I don't know.
Okay. Can't think of anything?
No.
Okay, Nick.
I know you've got a piercing. Now I'm like, was it on her nose or was it her ears?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Okay. Stacey, are there any distinguishable features that you can recall about my face? Like any kind of...
A mole?
Anything.
You have a mole?
Any
beauty marks? I feel like
marks,
you have a mole.
Anything.
Like a small one.
Where might that be?
On your forehead? Or like on the side of your eyes, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah.
Any distinguishing features about your face? I know for it, like your nose piercing is something that's always stuck out to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Halsey, how long do you think you've known me?
10 years.
Can you think of any beauty spots or scars or piercings or any kind of feature that...
Did you used to have piercing in your nose?
Okay, Tian.
About your face. Not your hair colour?
No, just my face.
No, freckles?
Anything, beauty spots.
We normally airbrush them, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do normally airbrush them. So I asked 10 people in the office. Pete was the only person who knew I had a piercing. Few people who went, I think you might have one day. I'm not really sure. Pete, you were the only one.
I mean, admittedly, I look at you every day.
But these people have known me for over a decade. And that was the thing. I specifically targeted people in the office who have known me a very long time.
Yeah.
But it just made me think of all the restless nights and days I've had thinking about my face and worried about my acne.
Absolutely.
And no one cares.
No one notices. We all spend way too much time worrying about what people are thinking about us. They're not.
Well, no one notices anything about your face.
What interested me in particular is that not only do people not necessarily notice, they also imprint things as well, like the mole thing on your forehead. It's like, mate, you've got a forehead that's clear as a sheet of glass. There's no mole going on there.
No, we can all relax. No one's looking at your face, guys.
Yeah, no one. There you go.
He's the 30th Premier of our great state and Rockingham's favourite son, who led his party to the biggest landslide victory ever in this year's WA election.
My God, he's my God.
Please welcome State Daddy, Mark McGowan.
Mark McGowan, good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Mark, is it something we said?
No.
It's been ages. You used to come in here and sit next to us, and we'd get your little coffee and now we're on the phone and
it's like you've got stuff on or something.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it really. It's something you did last time, Kimber. I just can't discuss.
We can't heal unless we talk about it, Mark.
Oh, Premier, yours is not the first heart to be broken by Kimber, let me tell you. Premier, how are you? How are these ships going? It's going to be a continuing story. We need ships to come and take things and bring things to us. But is that going to be our most, you know, dangerous port of call?
Oh, at the moment it is. We have two points of danger at the moment. One is the ship in Fremantle Harbour and the other ship that left here a week or so ago that we're testing lots of the people that interacted with it. But we're doing our best to prevent it from coming into our community from that ship. In fact, we've got every precaution in place. The other, of course, is the eastern states. And we've cut down on anyone who can come in, especially from Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia, and the ACT, actually. So we're doing everything we can to stop it coming from that direction. And then the other perennial threat, of course, is hotel quarantine. But we've cut down the numbers of people in hotel quarantine to reduce the pressure on the system.
Mm. Premier, are you guys looking at this Delta variant coming across the country and going, all right, is it only a matter of time? Because the thing that I tend to speak to a lot of people about at the moment, and the thing that I'm getting back in terms of what are you worried about with regards to COVID, is that it just seems to be like you see in a movie, like a fog just making its way across the country. And that's what they're going. They're like, oh, it's only a matter of time. And you know, should we be really concerned?
Well, we should be concerned. That's why we closed down the border to New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. And we've toughened it up a lot with South Australia. And if we have to, we'll close it to them. Basically, what that means is the only people who can then come in are, you know, federal MPs, military officials, people who have some extremely good reason. People have to fix equipment at hospitals or things like that. So it will come home to, you know, for sick children or something like that. So it cuts it right down to very, very few people can come in. So done everything we can. And we tell all West Australians, don't go east. And if you do, don't expect to get back. Mm. So it's sort of, we're doing as much as we can to stop it. We actually had it come in, you might recall, about 5 weeks ago. Mm. And we closed down, we locked down. We killed it in the space of 4 days, actually, because we acted quickly. And that's the advice we always give to all the other states is act quickly and you can get this thing without going through what now Sydney and New South Wales are going through.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, your messaging has certainly been consistent. So we know that the borders will close if that happens again or we will end up in lockdown again. Now, let's talk about your press conferences. Yesterday you had one at 3:30. You were about 10 minutes late. It's become a bit of an ongoing joke that McGowan, if you throw a press conference, how long will we wait for him to come out? So we would like to know what's happening behind the door. So when it's 3:30 and we're all set to go and you're not quite there yet, is it because you're rushing in from a taxi outside or is there something happening on the other side of the door? Why do they kick off late?
And the door guy, Steve. Apparently,
and the door guy, Steve, gets a lot of mentions. He gets a lot of mentions in the comments.
You know, I don't actually know him and I wouldn't know him if I saw him because he sort of hides behind the door. So as I come in, he's hidden. I actually don't know who he is. But anyway.
The comments are hilarious. People get really involved in what they expect to see on the day.
That's right. People are very interactive these days. Now, what's normally happening is that I might have just come out of a cabinet meeting or an expenditure review committee meeting, and then I have to get across every single issue that the journalist might ask me, because as you know, the press conferences can go from 40 minutes to an hour. They ask me lots of stuff, and so I have to know something or try to know something about everything they're going to ask me. So I sit down with my team and try and get across all the issues that I might have missed during the course of the day because I've been involved in other things.
I bet the questions that you're being tested on.
Basically, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I bet the questions that you're being tested on by your staff in the back going, someone might ask you this, yes, be ready, are not at all what the journos are asking you.
Sometimes that's right. Sometimes I'm fully briefed on something and they don't ask me. For instance, they told me all about the guy who climbed out the window with the sheets.
Yes.
And the journalist didn't ask me, so I was fully full bottle on the guy with the sheets, but I wasn't asked.
Oh, well, good. Do you know what he about. Tied the sheet to? We're really interested.
I thought that. So I asked that question, but no one knew. And I don't know how he tied him so well. One of those sheets comes undone, he's done.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was very courageous. He's no Andy Dufresne because he got caught very quickly. He didn't get away to Mexico.
Well, that's a very sensible answer.
Yeah.
Hoping for that you'd say that Steve was there going, no, don't go out just yet. Make him wait. Leave him wanting more.
Premier, one more thing before we let you go. It was my mum's birthday yesterday and she said to say hello. But she also said to wish you a happy birthday because she's really proud that she's got the same birthday in the same month. So last week, I believe, was your birthday, according to mum. A little bit stalkerish, but anyway, no big deal.
Your mum and I are born in the same year.
In the same, I don't know if it's the same. No, she's a little older than you, the same month, which she was very excited about because obviously she's a big fan. But
what are the chances? About 12, I'd say.
How did you celebrate, mate? Did you have a chance to do anything?
We went to the pub for tea, my wife and three kids and I. It was really nice. We just had tea out, and that's about it. I got some nice presents. I got some aftershave, and I got a shirt, and I got some other stuff I can't remember right now, but it was very nice.
Mate, you're the Premier. Don't you have enough shirts?
Oh, you go through them, let me tell you. I go through a lot of shirts.
What aftershave did you get?
Yes.
My son brought me some. It's a little blue bottle. It was called Eau de Toilette.
I think they're all called Eau de Toilette.
Well, my daughter was saying, does this come out of a toilet? So,
mate, nice to catch up with you. We will chat again with you soon. You take care of yourself, Premier.
Thanks very much. You too.
They've enjoyed careers on New York's Broadway and London's West End and are now back home in Perth and bringing a huge Disney production to the Riverside Theatre in October.
Dream is a wish your heart makes.
Please welcome Amy Manford and Genevieve McCarthy.
Yeah, it's Disney in concert. A Dream is a Wish. It'll be held on October 29 and 30. You can get your ticket info from mmcreativeproductions.com for pre-sale going on July 26th. Ladies, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations to you both. You've got your production company up and running, and this is fantastic that you're going to be doing Disney songs. And I mean, I'm guessing this is suitable for all generations because you're going to cover Disney across the ages.
Absolutely. We've got all your favourites from the classical and contemporary repertoire of Disney, and there's just something in it for everyone.
Kudos to you guys for getting the rights for this, right? Because I would imagine Disney are quite, not difficult to deal with, but they're a big company and they protect their product.
Like, difficult is fair.
Is it? Okay.
No, they were actually really dreamy to deal with. It was just persistence.
Uh-huh.
We had to convince them that while this was really our first major production, that they could trust us, that we would look after their music and treat it with respect.
And their brand as well.
And they eventually acquiesced and here we are.
Well done.
Now, are you both prepared for the veritable onslaught of the children? Because I can tell you now that if I'm to go home and say to them, I've got two young daughters, one's 5 and one's 3, and all they do is watch Disney nonstop. So this crowd's going to go off.
Yeah, I've got two nieces, so 2 and 4, and they've actually helped pick the rep.
Because really?
The kids they're into it these days.
Yes.
So I'm like, do you and your friends like this song? And they're like, no, Gigi, not cool. And I'm like, she's out. Oh. It's pick a new one.
So. But also, this is such a fantastic opportunity to introduce your kids to a full symphony orchestra for the first time in a really fun and accessible way. Mm. And it's going to be an experience like no other, really.
Okay, and so are you going to get to perform your favourite Disney? Like, is it, yes. You've got your favourite songs in there? You're like, even if the kids didn't want it, you're like, well, I'm doing that one regardless.
This one's for Gigi.
This one's for Gigi. Yeah, we are actually, aren't we?
Yeah, I come from a more classical background, so I'm going to love doing all the classics. And Jen's more of a poppy, belty singer, so she's going to belt out those Frozens and Moana and all the recent contemporary ones that everyone loves as well.
Well, the ones we think we can sing.
Yes, and the shower
songs.
We can't.
Yeah. All right. We used to do a little thing called Disney-oki. You'd come on, you'd tell us the song that you want to sing Disney-oki to. We play a little bit of it, and then you'll hear the mic tap, and you go for it. You belt it out. Would you like to have a go?
Let's do it.
Yeah, go for it.
You've done any vocal warm-ups this morning before you came in?
I'll do one right now.
Yes, we all do one together.
Yeah.
All right, Genevieve, would you like to go first?
Let's do it.
What's the song you're going to sing?
Oh, let's do a bit of Moana, hey? How far I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a little of that lying around?
How far I'll go.
Is that it? You've heard that one once or twice?
I certainly have.
We've got a little of that.
See the light with the sky to see. It calls me.
Okay.
No one knows.
That's an absolute belter. Here comes the mic tap.
See the line where the sky meets the sea. It calls me, and no one knows how far it goes.
Wow. Wow. Amazing.
Why did you stop her?
I'm sorry. We've only got so much time. Amy?
I think I'm going to go A Whole New World from Aladdin.
On a magic carpet ride, a whole new world. A new
genuine classic. All right, here we go.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
I was waiting for someone to do that.
Matt piggybacking on there.
She picked a duet for that specific reason.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Thank you, ladies. A hard act to follow, awesome. But we'd love you to do so. We're going to play Disney-oki. Ladies, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
We've got Mia in Averley. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Oh. What are you singing?
Let it go.
Mia. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
An absolute classic, Mia.
And a young performer too, by the sounds of it.
All right. The mic's open, Mia. Go for it. Mia.
I don't care what you're going to say, and let that show.
Come on, you're almost there, Mia. I think we need to help her. Do you guys know the lyrics to the song?
No, I
only know the bit that goes,
let it go. Come on, Mia, everybody.
Let it go.
Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
There we go, Mia.
Slam the door.
Beautiful, darling. Well done.
Sometimes you need a bit of help to
you
get there.
Certainly do.
Yes, okay. We've got Maria in South Lake.
I love the tone on Pete's voice. Yeah. Let it go.
All of a sudden it was Alf from Home and Away.
G'day, Maria. How you go?
Hi. Good morning.
Maria, do you feel like a beautiful sing-song this morning?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Good
when
on
it comes
you.
To Disney, let's go for it.
Okay. Great. What are you doing, Maria?
I would like to sing Reflection by Leia Salonga.
Who is that girl?
From Mulan.
Mulan.
All right, Maria, mic's open. Go for it.
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me? Why is my reflection someone I don't know?
Beautiful.
Maria, are you a Mulan fan, or have you been watching it with someone else?
Oh, it's like because I am from the Philippines. Mulan is the first Asian Disney character princess. And Lea Salonga is a well-renowned Filipino singer. So, yes, this is my jam.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Love it.
Love that. It's a jam.
Emma and Jandakot, one more here with Disney Oki. What have you got for us?
I want to sing Part of Your World from Little Mermaid.
I've got who's its and what's its galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more.
Don't we all, love? Don't
all right. We all. Emma, now's your time to shine, mate. The mic's open. Go for it.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see... Wanna see them dancing, walk all along on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Dipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what do you call it? Oh, street. Up where they walk. Up where they run.
Go, Emma.
Up where they stay all day in the
sun.
Wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Well done, Emma.
Extra characterisation in there too.
Oh, just perfect. It was Mum's birthday last night.
Yeah, nice.
Yesterday, 60, you guys. My mum is 60. I just had to take a moment to take that in. She is 60 years old, and my dad will turn 60 later on this year as well.
I think you're supposed to say 60 years young.
60 yeah. years young.
Yeah, particularly when the bloke over the microphone from you is very close to that.
Matt is 51, Kimber. It was an interesting night last night, to say the least. It was just the family, like mum and dad. Nonna Corelli was there. My brother and his wife, me and my wife and all of our kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big family celebration.
Well, it is. Something was very apparent last night. Mum and dad's house is all of a sudden too small.
Oh.
Like we're all sitting around this dining room, and the dining room that, it's been the same dining room that we've had since we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always had plenty of room, and all of a sudden with all the kids around it and everything as well, it's too small.
Wow. Only Italian families have to upscale as they get older.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
But it was quite a multicultural event last night, right? So like we're a group of Italians and, I've never made any secret about the fact we're very proud about that.
Yeah.
And, but interestingly enough, as has been the tradition for our family for quite some time, whenever we decide to dine out or have takeaway or something, it's Chinese food. So there's the group of Italians and we're sitting around this table and we've got $252 worth of Chinese food because we always overorder. I kid you not. My brother's put the order in and Dad at one point has gone, oh, mate, do you think that's too many dishes? And you go, nah, it's fine. And then Dad's handed the cash to us and me and my brother went to go pick it up and he's handed us $200. And he's gone, I'll bring the change back and should be fine.
Yeah, right.
And then he's gone, just in case you need it, here's another 50. We've rocked up and the guy behind the counter has got this screen on his console and he's gone, those are all your dishes there. And everything was in Mandarin. So we couldn't quite understand what it was, but we've gone, well, we come to this place a lot, so sure, we trust you. $252, please. Okay, no worries.
You said we haven't got the $2. Can you put back those three pieces of sweet and sour pork?
Well, funnily enough, right?
No prawn crackers for you.
Well, as a sweetener, he's gone, oh, we'll give you 3 bags of prawn crackers.
Oh, God
nice.
Bless.
So great. Okay, no worries. We've got the 3 bags of prawn crackers. We've gone home. There's 3 tofu dishes in there that we didn't order, but that's okay. That's fine. And then after we finish the Chinese meal, it's off into the family room where my brother has set up a piñata. So
Wow. You've
got an Italian family who's just finished a Chinese meal and is about to go hammer and tongs on a Mexican piñata.
Brilliant.
And all I could think of while we were sitting there was that it was like a scene out of the International Eating House, which we used to go to when we were kids.
It holds a special place in our hearts, the
Us
International
too.
Eating House.
Do you remember? And we got talking Albany about Highway. This last night. Yes, Albany Highway in Vic Park, and it used to be our Friday night treat. And it was the thing where, because we all lived in Queen's Park, Cannington area, and everybody pretty much that we knew lived in the same area as well, Friday nights ended up becoming a big party at the International Eating House because everybody would be there.
You guys were fancy. We only got to go to the International Eating House when it was a family event. Like if it was a birthday or whatever, that is where we went. And we had all the choices in all the world that we could have. And my brother and I always got a spearmint milkshake and hot chips.
International cuisine.